Hello, hello, and welcome to the New Mindset Who Dis podcast. My name is Case Kenny at case.kenny on Instagram, and this is my weekly podcast where I create short, no BS episodes dedicated to helping you be the person you're meant to be, leave your comfort zone, and live a fulfilling and purposeful life. Let's go. Right. Welcome to a special episode of New Mindset Who Dis. My name is Case Kenny. You probably know that, but today this episode isn't about me. I'm going to hold off on too many funny stories about myself and my mindset. Today I want to talk about the mindset of my guest who's sitting in front of me right now. And I don't do a whole lot of guests on the show. I've done 145 episodes and only had two or three folks on the show. And that's because I'm so adamant about people who have created impact in their lives and let their sense of hope and positivity and optimism lead them, and who have really crafted great, amazing mindsets from it. And today's guest is certainly no exception to that, and I'm very excited to have him on the show. Today's guest is world famous Dutch DJ, composer, musician, artist, and great all-around guy, Armin van Buuren. Armin, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I've just got to say right off the bat, you know, I've interviewed a lot of people over the years, and you know, it's one thing to have someone on the show and they're like, oh, this person's well known and famous and has interesting things to say. It's another to have someone who personally has impacted you in major ways. And I promised everyone before that I wouldn't have any fanboy moments, but I will say that I've been listening to your music since 2004 and it's had a big impact in my life. So I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you. Thank you for your kind words. It always, you know, it's, I want to say something about that because it's so great that, you know, for example, when I do a track or a radio show, it feels like you're talking into a black box sometimes, and to actually meet the people that you've impacted on, apparently, is the greatest feeling ever, because, you know, sometimes I really wonder if people actually do listen. I mean, the numbers say they do, but, you know, to actually meet people and say like, oh, this track has such an impact on me, or this music or this set was so amazing to me. And, you know, you know that you're creating memories to people. And that is the greatest gift, I think, of my job, for
sure. Yeah, absolutely. No, I really appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, I talk about music all the time on the podcast. I talk about it on Instagram. Just like, music is a powerful, powerful thing. I think it has the ability to give you amazing perspective. It has the ability to change your mood in a second. It has the ability to connect you with other people. So I think it's such an amazing thing in my life, and your music since 2004, communication, so many albums and songs that have played a big role in my life. I think it's amazing. And I definitely am a big fan. But we'll start off with talking about music, because I think it's a great segue. You have a new album coming out, Balance, and I think it's great timing, because I actually released an episode a couple back on this idea of balance, how I think personally that balance is everything in life, the balance between amazing things and kind of shitty moments, between unknowns and knowns, and why that's so important in life for perspective. I'm sure you agree with that. I'd love to know a little bit about the idea behind balance, kind of what drove you, what your motivation behind kind of the theme behind it is.
I was planning a new artist album because it's been 4 years ago since I released my last album. And it was a little bit of a difficult thing because, you know, the way we consume music right now is completely different than 5-10 years ago. You know, I come from the era when I released Intent. A lot of it was still CD, or everybody was downloading on iTunes and stuff like that. Right now, everything's streaming. You know, the good news is that people are consuming more music than ever. The bad news is that, you know, you're sort of a slave to playlists right now. Yeah. And the curators of playlists. It's a whole new game. You have to imagine a football game and they completely changed all the rules. That's what's happening in the music industry right now. So in 2015, I released my album Embrace, and I felt a little bit frustrated because the album itself wasn't platinum, and the albums before that were. And I felt that was kind of a personal loss. Yeah. But my manager had a very simple explanation for it. He said, well, the music industry is transitioning into a new era. The individual tracks did really well. For example, I got a platinum plaque for Heading Up High, and I got, you know, a triple platinum for Another You, and a couple of other tracks on the album did extremely well. It's just that the album as a whole, I feel, didn't get the attention it deserved. And that's because in the streaming era, people have a tendency to, you know, pick their favorite tracks and put them in a playlist. And that's just the reality of things. I don't want to be negative about it because, you know, when I started DJing, I was still carrying around vinyl. And now I'm, you know, playing from a USB drive. So, it's been a completely different setting. It's like, you know, you can compare it to driving your bike to school and taking the airplane to school. That's the feeling. Yes. It's a completely different. It's still music, but it's the way people consume it is radically different. So when we started talking about a possibility of a new album, my manager said, well, there's just no use in throwing 14 tracks on your fans because this is what's going to happen. They're going to pick the two or three favorites and then they're going to move on. So I said, okay, so what do you suggest? Because I really want it to present my fans with new music, you know, some classic Armin trance, some new stuff, some experimenting. So what we decided, and it was a long debate, was to bundle the new album, 14 brand new tracks, with 14 tracks that were released the last 2 years. So that to balance it out.
Got it.
That's the first balance that we have. Yeah. The second balance is, as a musician, I feel the need to explore a little bit. I love trance music. It's very close to my heart, but I feel it's very formulaic sometimes. And in order to keep it exciting for myself and to keep it fresh, I need to flirt with other styles. It's just, that's just who I am. So I got into songwriting. I'm doing a lot of pop stuff. I'm doing a lot more EDM. I'm even flirting with hardstyle. So there's an actual hardstyle track on the album, which was a radical departure for me. But on the other hand, I've also created like a lot of classic Armin tracks, like, you know, the one with Sam Martin, Miles Away, Million Voices, the one with Halion, the one with Chemo. They're all like more like catered to my fans. So what I'm saying to my fans in the album is, look, I'll never forget my roots. I know where I come from. I know you guys love A State of Trance and I love it too. But music needs to move on. And the experimentation fuels me and gives me the energy to do more sort of standard Armin tracks. So that's where I find the balance. As a musician, on the one hand, I'm experimenting. On the other hand, I stay loyal to my fans and I know what they like. Yeah. And I like it too, but I need to move forward.
Yeah, that's cool. So it's quite a literal balance with what you're releasing, and then also a balance in the sense that you're always evolving and reinventing yourself. I know you talked in Mr. Perfect, the documentary you released, about, you know, people are like, oh, he's not releasing trance, like what's going on? Armin's a trance DJ. But you're not just a trance DJ, you're a musician, an artist.
Well, if you have to put a label on my forehead, yes, put trance. Right. I swear.
That's how I've found
never
you, for sure.
Never throughout my career never played purely just trance in a set. I've always, you know, played more progressive stuff or more techno stuff, and I don't want to limit myself. But if you have to put a label on my forehead, please make it trance.
Yeah, it's a fair label for sure. So let's hop in a little bit to the mindset behind you. On Balance, the album that's coming out, there's a quote where you say, "Every day you wake up a little more." What does that mean to you?
Well, that's a quote that comes directly from my mom,
from your mom.
And I actually used that exact quote in one of the songs on the album called Don't Give Up On Me. It's what my mom taught me one day, and I think there's a lot of truth to it. When she first said it, it didn't really hit me until I started thinking about it. It's true. Every day you learn more about yourself. You learn more about your surroundings. Every day you become more a richer person. Also, as a producer, you know, every track that I make, you know, when I make a next track, I take the knowledge of all the tracks I did before that. So I'm always moving forward in that sense. And also, you know, like politically, you know, even religiously or musically, I mean, I listen to different music than I listened to 10 years ago. Your taste changes. I eat food now that I would never eat 10 years ago. I have drinks that I would never, you know, and I think that's the beauty of life as well. There's a lot of beauty in that. And yeah, so that's the reason why this quote was really relevant to me on the Balance album. Because the third aspect, the third reason why I call this album Balance is also because it's a mental, it's a mindset. I find it very, very tough this age, being a parent of two, I have a lovely wife, and to balance that with the career that I have, it's almost impossible job.
Right. How are you finding that? Where are you finding the strength to balance and at the same time, like, be at peace with yourself? I mean, you're on tour.
Yeah.
And you have family. You just turned 40. Yeah. Like, you have a lot. A new album.
Let me start. I want to take two steps back. And sometimes when I read interviews from my colleagues, well-respected colleagues, I always listen to their, like, when somebody asks about their mindset and I talk about how they handle life. And they always give the answer that I used to give as well. Namely, okay, this is how I organized it. So you get sort of a fixed answer. This is my, you know, the standard answer would be, I have a team that takes care of me. I have a manager. He does what he's supposed to do. And I'm sort of over that answer to the question, because it's not answering the real question. That the real answer to the mindset or how do you balance things in your life is that it's an ongoing process. And that the fights and the struggles are happening daily. That's what you don't hear DJs say. They say, like, you know, I got my team, they take care of me. And that's what I used to answer as well. And again, I'm not dissing on my colleague DJs, because I understand that question. And everybody has a right to answer that question in his own respect. But if I closely look at what happens in my life, then it's a struggle. That's the truth. And I think, you know, now that we are talking more freely about mental health and DJing and electronic music and what happened to Avicii, I think it's a moment that we open up and say, look, this DJ lifestyle has a dark side to it. And it has a very, very dark side to it. And the dark side means, in order to find balance, it's a day-to-day struggle. And yes, I have a great team of people around me and lots of problems are solved by that. But for me, I get like strange dilemmas, you know, like I have to choose between a gig for 40,000 people or taking my son to football. Right. And, you know, it's that kind of choices that are presented to you. And it's really tough.
Yeah. Oh, I appreciate you saying that. I mean, it's a vulnerable answer. And I think I can't relate so much to the music part, but I look at people who are struggling in life. Life is full of ups and downs. There's, you know, it's full of the need to balance. And I think a lot of times people think, oh, there's this finish line somewhere in the distance where everything's going to be great and perfect and I won't have to worry about this anymore. And clearly it's not the case, to your point, because you say it's a constant daily struggle.
Happiness is usually a photograph. It's like you have happy moments. I have many happy moments, like when I'm with my family or when I'm with my friends. Or don't think like I'm super depressed or anything. I'm not.
No.
But I want to stop pretending that this life is easy and it's all about, you know, private jets, lots of money, women, drugs, alcohol, you know, because that's not where happiness is. Happiness comes from inside, you know, it's a mindset. It's true.
So I love that you say that. So how do you keep that in perspective? Like when you have a bad day, nothing's going right, you're tired, you're on tour. Like how do you recall those happy moments? Because to your point, happiness is moments. Well, it's not a state.
I think we need to stop thinking that everything needs to be perfect always. Sometimes life just isn't perfect. And I think growing up and every day you wake up a little more is also accepting the fact that sometimes you just feel miserable. I sometimes have days too where I just feel miserable. Even though I had the greatest gig on the planet and, you know, my son comes with a drawing and he said, look, Dad, I draw your car, and he's super happy and I should feel happy about that. And I think this is also a sign of the times that in our society, we want to make the most of our lives. You know, it has to be high quality always. We have to go to the best restaurants. We have to watch the best series. FOMO is a big thing in our lives. But I think what we have to change in our society in general is that it's okay to feel down sometimes. Because you know what? Actually, feeling down has a purpose too. You won't feel down, I mean, unless you have like serious mental problems, obviously, but you won't feel down every single day. But there will be days where you just won't feel super happy. And that's okay. Because you know what? The next day, when it's a little bit more sunny and, you know, everything goes a little better, you'll feel better. It's not every day is going to be like that. But sometimes it's just a dark cloud. At least, you know, let's talk from my point of view. There's just sometimes you just won't feel like you wish you would.
Right. I love that answer. I really appreciate you saying that. I was actually really inspired by Above and Beyond. I went to their Weekender in the Gorge Amphitheater, and they're doing this like mindfulness and yoga type thing. And there was something I was really inspired by that they said. They said, don't give up, give in. And I did this whole, I did put together a meditation for this idea that, you know, don't give up, but you can give in to how you're feeling sometimes. You could admit how you're feeling. Like, I feel like a lot of times people feel the need to say, I'm happy. It's okay to not be happy for a minute. Like, you can just admit it. And I think that's so powerful that you said that. I think people look at you and like, oh, he's the happiest guy in the world.
I am. I'm blessed. I'm super thankful, but not all the time. But not all the time. No. Right. Even I have my dark moments. Yeah. I love Mark Manson's book, Everything's Beeped. And he has a section in the book where he says, like, everything's a seven. You know, sometimes your life's a nine. If you're like, you got a new car or, you know, you hear that you and your wife are pregnant or, you know, you just got married and your life's a 10. Right. But everything, you know, at some point, your life will be a seven again. Right. And I love that. That's so true. Yeah. Like, whether you're the richest guy in the world, or you're you know, unless you're really poor, obviously that's not your choice. Right. It's a different situation. But if you like have an average income and you feel okay, then I think a lot of people will agree that my life's a seven. Right. Sometimes it's a five, sometimes it's a nine, and that I have to agree with you, because even though my life seems super great, and it is at times, you know, even private jets get boring, you know. I'm afraid to say that, but it's true. It's like
to be honest,
and sometimes I even think like, wow, you know, private jets usually have to stand in the back of the line, because you know you're not faster. People think that private jet's faster. It's not, because flight from Amsterdam to Ibiza takes 3 hours in a private jet and it's 2 hours on a commercial airline. Roughly. Yeah. So, you know, there's good and bad sides to everything, I guess.
That's a good perspective. So let's talk about that a little bit. I mean, people refer to you as Mr. Perfect. The name of the documentary was Mr. Perfect. I'm curious, everything we just said, like sometimes your life's a seven, sometimes you're a successful seven in your career, but you want to be a 10. So how do you stop putting so much pressure on yourself? I know you're hard on yourself. You're DJ Mag one, 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 and then two. And then like, how do you prevent yourself from putting so much pressure on yourself to do more, be
better? In 2010, I had a lot of people noticed, because I touched on this in many interviews, but very briefly, in 2010, I was number one DJ in the world, and I felt like I was the most unhappy guy in the world. And I was having mental issues looking back at it. And that was because I was reading every tweet that everybody was writing. And all my fans, they mean a lot to me, you know, all the comments. And secretly, I had just read everything. And there would be 19 positive comments, and one or two guys would say like, oh, your set is not good, and it was not trance, or it was, you know, predictable or whatever. And it would hurt like hell. It was like hitting somebody in the face, you know? And I struggled with that for a long, long time until I went to a coach and he put that into perspective, and it really cleared my head in a way. Started reading books. Daniel Kahneman, Thinking Fast and Slow. Yep. The Winner Effect by Ian Robertson. Those two books became like the Bible, because I started to understand, like, those books are like the manual of a human brain almost to me. And I started putting things into perspective, and I felt more free, and I started to understand something that was really, really important to me personally. And that's what reflects on the Balance album too, is that I think the most important thing to be creative is to keep having fun. And I forgot to have fun, because I was just trying to please everybody. It became a burden, and it became some sort of I described it to my coach as getting up in the morning and having this big pile of wood on the back of my shoulders. Yeah. Like I felt I had to lift something, and I was able to throw off that wooden thing and free myself. And 3 years later, I was rewarded by, I don't know who's controlling, if you're religious, you say God. I was rewarded with the Grammy nomination for my single, This Is What It Feels Like. And I remember when that track was released, I got bashed a lot, because it was pop and it was, you know, and it was my biggest single to this day. Yeah. So that's the irony of it. So that's when I sort of was able to let go of that stigma of, oh, I'm the trans guy and I have to make trans and this is the only thing I can do. And I felt more free. And in that sense, I created the entire Intense album around This Is What It Feels Like, because that was basically the first single that was done. There was a lot of transy stuff on there, but I just felt the need to experiment. You know, I just said, like, look, as proud as I am of my past successes, all my tracks are my babies, but I can't recreate In and Out of Love. I can't recreate Blue Fear. They're all like photographs of that time. And I've accepted that now. I've accepted that you have to move forward. And as an artist, you have to keep reinventing yourself. And the most important thing to do that, because it sounds like a burden, how do I reinvent myself? Like, I was thinking about that. Like, how am I going to reinvent making music? And the answer is very simple. Go back to that little guy that went into the studio for the first time and had fun creating music. And you have to stay loyal to that little guy, that young guy, myself, that was just in the studio being excited about the sound coming from a synthesizer. And that's what I'm doing now. You know, if I don't feel inspired, I open up a different plugin or I start filling around with other tools, and maybe I'll buy a cheeky plugin or I buy a compressor and I start doing things that are just not. Just, I want to have fun. Yeah. Just have fun. That's where all the inspiration comes from. Just have a good time. And if you're not having a good time in your studio, you know what? It reflects in your music.
Yeah, I love that. I think a lot of people can relate to that, even if they aren't musicians. I mean, you know, I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to be successful, to be happy, and we're not. I think a lot of times it go in life, just reinventing yourself isn't a bad thing. Making changes for the better for yourself isn't a bad thing. I think a lot of times people think that when they have to make big life decisions or reinvent themselves emotionally or from a breakup or something bad, that it's a sign of weakness or something like that. When clearly it's hardly the case. You get back to your roots of what made you excited, what made you smile initially. If it's music, if it's something else, like I'm sure you can relate to that idea. One of the things you said, obviously, going back to what made you happy initially, do you practice any mindfulness or anything like meditation or anything like that? Like, how do you stay rooted in the moment? I find myself personally, I'm always busy. I'm always doing something that I forget. You black out for a week. You forget to appreciate anything. Like, do you do any practices or any ideas?
I started doing that. Yeah, quite recently, actually.
Yeah.
Somebody's helping with that. Because it's the nerve, you know, the way that the human brain is constructed, it's not something that you can control. You can only handle so much pressure, so much stress. And I came to realize now that you have to unwind in order to excel. And that's been pretty bad on me, because it means like I have to say no to certain gigs, and I have a thing I call the Saturday night itch. When I made the mistake, like I'm finally on the couch next to my wife, we're watching a great movie, and halfway through the movie, my mind just wanders off. Yeah. And why? Because I grabbed my phone and made the mistake to open Instagram, and there you go. People are dancing to the festival that wanted to book me, and I said no. Yeah. And then it's FOMO. You know, and that hurts, man. It hurts. It's like you sit there, but now I grow older, I accept it more, because I have to find balance also to give my family time, and I have to be in that moment. And that's a thing that's really tough on my wife too, because she feels like she's looking forward to me finally being home, and there's this guy sitting next to you on the couch, and his mind is wandering off to the festival again. Yeah. Yeah, and that's the burden a little bit of the DJ lifestyle. You know, you can't live with it. You can't live without it.
Yeah.
Like, this will be a warning to anybody that wants to get into the DJ industry. I mean, once you're a DJ, you cannot go back.
Yeah.
Once you've hit that mark, and once you're successful, because that's what we all aim. Yeah, we want to be successful. So you're successful. Then what? How are you going to find the balance? You know, I have a massive guilt feeling towards my best friends, because I completely neglected them. I let them, you know, I feel guilt towards my parents, my brother. I just didn't spend enough time with them, the time that they deserve. And then they're you know, they're probably the most important people. I got an advice from my Jedi master, Ben Liebrand, who's a Dutch master mixer. He's one of the very first guys to actually start as a DJ. And he mentored me, and he was very important. And he said something before I started DJing, and I should have listened to him better. He said, "You're spending 95% of your time on people who don't really love you as you." I mean, my fans love me, but they love me for the music or as, you know, for the shows. But the people that actually care about me, they're always the last in the line. And it makes me, and that made me think a lot about it. I should have listened to him better, because it's true. You know, you have this, especially if you're a guy, you have this testosterone. You want to prove yourself. You want to be the monkey on the mountain. And you want to show to everybody how good you are. But, you know, you pay a big price for that. A very, very big price.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for saying that. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I feel like ego and drive and, you know, just seeing what other people are doing, it, like, you can neglect a lot of important people and events and experiences in your life. And I'm sure you've realized that. I want to go quickly back to what you were just saying. A lot of my listeners are, you know, artists, creators, writers, podcasters. Was there ever a moment when you were up and coming, call it, let's call it early 2000s, 90s, where you, was there any moment where you're like, I can do this. I can do this big. I can do this more than just, you know, have this be a hobby. Was there anything where you realized like, I'm powerful. Like I've got this.
I remember my first UK gig I played in Cream in Liverpool, in the Courtyard, February 2000. And I remember the roar of the crowd, which I never experienced that way. Because I guess my career took off in England before it did in Holland or anywhere else in the world because of a track that was popular in the UK. And I remember I was warming up for Seb Fontaine, who was a big DJ at the time. And he allowed me to play 30 minutes more because he saw the crowd was going crazy. And I wanted to sit in the bathtub to unwind from that. And I was sitting in that bathtub, I really remembered like, wow. So it is actually possible for this nerdy guy from Leiden in the Netherlands, law school student, to be an internationally successful DJ, which at the time was a novelty because now DJs tour all over the world. You have festivals. But at the time, it was completely unthinkable to DJ anywhere else but in my own country. And I got really lucky meeting the right people and, you know, being in the slipstream of Ferry Corsten and, you know, getting the support from so many English DJs that helped me. And so that was a really, really, you know, super. It was a super great time. Yeah.
Do you consider yourself a stubborn person? Like, what gives you perseverance? Like, it didn't happen overnight, clearly. And even from that moment to where you are today, I'm sure there's lots of ups and downs and you had to keep going.
I think I'm just a workaholic.
Okay.
Yeah. Once I put my teeth into something, I don't let go.
Yeah.
And I don't stop.
And what drives you? Is it you want to finish it? You want to make impact with it? It's creative for you? Like, what do you think?
There's nothing more sad, you know, nothing gives more satisfaction than creating something in the studio yourself and playing into a crowd and see people cheer to it, go crazy to a song that you've created. That gives a great personal satisfaction.
Yeah, I feel that. Yeah, I think I promise I wouldn't talk, but in my life, like, I've been writing for a long time. I even looked on Instagram the other day to see how many, like, I post quotes on one of my accounts, and I've posted 4,000 times, which, you know, it's 4 or 5 years worth.
And congratulations. That's awesome.
Yeah, thanks. But, like, I look at that, and, like, I really only found my stride this year, to be honest. Like, the podcast blew up. My writing's blown up. It's been great. But, like, I look at that, and it's like, I put in 3 years of work before I even had an inkling that this was – they're like, I could do something with this. And then I started getting reviews and people messaging me and sponsors and things like that. It's like amazing how put in 3 years of work, 4 years of work, and then you could have this moment and be like, you know, it makes sense now. But you need to have that drive to do it. You need to have a sense of satisfaction, something that drives you, so it makes you happy. You have to have something.
Now I want to ask you a question. Having the success with your podcast is amazing for you. But did it make you a more happy person? Are you more happy now than you were 2 years ago or 3 years ago?
I wouldn't say so.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
You would think, like, if you achieve something like that, you get all the sponsors, you get all the attention, that you would think that that would make you more happy as a human being. And it did probably for a little bit.
Yeah. To be honest, I think the and this isn't a cooked answer, it's been the process of doing the podcast that has made me happy, because when I do the podcast, I'm learning about myself. I've opened up tremendously doing the podcast, learned all these great things about myself. Getting recognition is nice. It's nice to validate that I've got a good podcast voice and people relate to my stupid jokes and dad jokes and things like that. It's great, right? But it was the process, and I'm sure you feel the same.
The journey is more rewarding than the destination, for sure. I have a lot of personal stories I can tell about individual tracks that I wrote. And I've accepted that now. That's also the message behind Balance. You know, every one of those 28 songs have a personal story behind it. And there's people always ask me, like, how do you start a track? How do you get inspiration? Well, I don't really start on a track. It's not like, okay, I'm going to write my next hit right now. So I'm going to sit now and I'm going to start with this great riff. No, a track with me starts different every day. And sometimes it may start with a kick drum. Sometimes it may start with a bass line. Sometimes just with a sound from a plugin that I like. Sometimes it's just sitting with my guitar on my kitchen table and I can't even play guitar, but I play two notes. Hey, cool, let's record this and then loop that and go from there. You're just fooling around in the beginning. You're not really seriously considering making that a track.
And
that's what I'm constantly doing. I'm always like on a flight or in a studio. I'm always fooling around with sounds, plugins, you know, throwing ideas at people. You know, that's how you start. And creation comes from there. It comes from like, wow, what a great sound. Or, hey, I heard this track, I got an idea. Or having piano lessons from my piano teacher. I find a chord that I think is absolutely amazing. So I quickly write it down, put it in our studio, put it somewhere. And I always save everything that I do.
Yeah.
Even if I think it's not really good or not inspiring, because somebody else may come in my studio and think like, wow. Yeah. So that's how I'm creative. It's just like, it's different every time.
Yeah. Yeah. Easily inspired as well. I feel like whenever I go out and I try to be in the moment, I try to be a sponge for my writing. It's for writing, to be able to see things, have experiences, and then just take that and create from it. I'm always writing things down. I'm always leaving little voice messages for myself.
Yeah,
it's an iterative process. People think I'm crazy. Like, I'm always like talking to my phone. One of the things in talking about being inspired and creative, DJ, but formerly a lawyer, or by study and academic, a lawyer. I'm curious, like, for you, you found out rather quickly, or I'd love to know how, like, you knew what was important to you. Music spoke to you. Music was a drive, a passion, a purpose, whatever you want to call it for you. What do you say to people who are like, they're like, I just don't know what my thing is in life. Like, I can't find it. I have a job, I have friends, but I don't have a thing. Like, should I be looking for it? Like, should I be experimenting? Like, do you believe everyone has like a purpose like that? It's an open question.
I find it really hard to answer that question for other people.
Yeah.
I think the only thing I can say about that is don't be too harsh on yourself. I think in society, we want to make the most out of our lives. You know, life's short. Everybody knows that. It's a cliche, but it's true. And I felt for a long time like, I'm nobody. I'm not going to be anything, I wasn't a stereotype DJ. I was just, like I said, I was this law school student from Leiden in the Netherlands. That's it. So why would I be successful? And I didn't even dream of that. And I think success or money or fame should never be the drive. It should always be like, am I having a good time? Is this taking me somewhere? And don't be too hard on yourself. If you don't really find a passion right now, it will come.
Yeah.
Like, I met so many of my friends who felt like they were high school dropouts, and they're now the most successful entrepreneurs. You know, they run businesses now. But when I knew them, when they were 16, 17, they had this exact same feeling that you're describing. Like, oh my God, I don't know what to do with my life. And that's okay too. It will come. There will be something. There's a path for everybody. I strongly believe that. You just don't be desperate, you know. Take life, open your arms and take life as it comes. And something will be there for you. Sometimes people are impatient. They want to read the book of life in a day and get all the answers to their life. Well, guess what? That's not gonna happen. And if you feel like you don't have a purpose, you know, wait a year, wait 2 years. Sometimes purpose in life comes with people that are 45 or 55, you know, and they become super successful, or they find their purpose. But life is a struggle like that. You, every day, you wake up a little more, you meet new people, you know, you get a different job, you switch jobs, you feel like you're a dropout, you know, you feel like you failed miserably. I had that feeling many times. I mean, I created so many bad songs too, you know. I've created a few good ones.
Yeah.
But you know, every track that I did was to give me another, you know, it was, had a purpose in the end for, you know, creating the songs that were successful later.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for saying that. I mean, I'm the world's most impatient dude. I admit that all the time. And I found so much value in taking a step back, not putting pressure on myself to have it all figured out, and leaving yourself open. You never know when I can meet someone in 30 minutes from now who could have a massive impact in my life.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
You never know when purpose will find you, like,
yeah,
leaving
exactly,
yourself
yeah.
open to it. I love that.
But that's also the excitement of life, right? You don't know where you're going to be in half hour from now, who you're going to talk to in half hour from now,
awesome.
Who you're going to run
that's
into.
Awesome.
You know, I love John Lennon's quote, life is what's happening to you when you're busy making other plans. That's my favorite quote from John Lennon.
That's great. Yeah.
And that's true, because, you know, it always, you know, you always have the car accident when you can least use it. You're on your way to an important, and that can be negative. But then during the car accident, you can meet somebody who's actually really nice. And
yes.
Life has strange turns like that.
Man, I love that. It's a very optimistic way of looking at life. Not everyone, you know, has that. So I want to be respectful of your time, and I just a couple more questions. This one, you meant, maybe it was on a Mr. Perfect. You mentioned it. Sometimes you feel like an outsider. Maybe it's because you're 40, or sometimes you're DJing and you're looking down at people and you just feel like you're not, you're kind of removed from
I
that.
I still feel like that.
Why is that? And then I'd love to get your advice for people who feel like they're an outsider in life just in general. I know you got to be broad with that, but tell us a little bit about what you mean when you say that you feel like an outsider.
Well, that's the reason also why we call it Mr. Perfect, because, you know, I'm strongly against drugs. I mean, I've never used it. I don't mind people that do, actually, because I, you know, I'm from Holland, so we have a really tolerant, liberal way of thinking of that. I think, like, if you're not bothering anybody, I guess it's okay. But that's the Dutch way of looking at things. But I've just never done it. And you can test my hairs to prove it. I never felt the need that I needed drugs in my life. I always felt weird because some of my friends did use it. And I was just really in there to enjoy the music. And I thought, do you need, you know, substances like that to actually enjoy this music? I mean, no. And that's why I felt like an outsider. I was never that party animal. I was never like, you know, taking drugs or doing crazy stuff to enjoy this music. I was really into the music. So I felt a little bit crazy. Like, am I really the only one who's enjoying this music just pure, like just on a few beers? Right. Is that okay
yeah.
too?
Yeah.
And then, you know, the stereotype DJ for me was like, you know, Sasha and John Digweed and Carl Cox, the early, you know, I had a huge admiration for them, like Paul Oakenfold, those guys. And I looked up to them and I was like, I'm not worthy, you know, I'm not that guy. Right. I'm not like, I thought they were super cool. And what they did was just amazing. Why would people come and see Armin van Buuren, you know?
Right. Yeah.
That's what I honestly thought.
Yeah.
And then Mr. Perfect obviously is an ironic title because it's a burden if you want to make everything perfect. Right. And you know that it's never going to be perfect. You know, music is never perfect. It's always, you know, you always try. And I try to be perfect. And I take all the criticism from my fans very serious. But you know what? And this is maybe cool to end at the end. I came to a really important realization personally. And I don't know if this does anything to you or to the listeners. But for me, the realization came that there's a purpose to the fact that not 100% of human beings will like your music. There's an evolutionary purpose to that. There's never been a work of art, a podcast, a book, piece of music that 100% of human beings like. And why is that? I have the answer. It's very simple. It's called evolution. If there would be a book or a song that 100% of human beings liked, we wouldn't find Einstein. We are made to think differently, and we have to embrace that because that's how we find people like Einstein. Because he thought differently. He looked at the same stuff. He was born in the same, on the same planet, but he was just had a radically different approach on the same thing. And we learned so much from that. So we have to embrace the fact. And it's okay if there's people who don't like you as a person. Because you're never going to find a person walking this planet that 100% of human beings like. There's always going to be people that don't like you. Accept that. And it's part of evolution. Because that's how we get electrical cars and that's how we get books. We need people to think different.
Yeah.
We need to embrace freedom of speech. We need to embrace people who think differently.
Yeah, I mean, I say it all the time. Your weirdness, what makes you unique, that weird habit, hobby you have is what makes you you.
Yeah, embrace it.
Yeah. I absolutely should. I think people look at you. People are like, oh my gosh, everyone loves Armin. What are you kidding me?
Yeah, don't try to be Armin van Buuren. Yeah. Try to be you.
Yes.
And that's what I mean with every day you wake up a little more. Every day you discover something about yourself that you didn't know. And you have to learn and to embrace that, even if it's a weird thing.
Thank you. That's awesome.
You're welcome.
You should host the podcast where you give like these kind of advice, a state of trance, and then you could do a mindfulness or self-help podcast. This is amazing. Thank you for being on the show. I really appreciate it. If you're listening right now, I hope you found some value in this. If you did, please share, tag myself, Case Kenny, tag Armin in it as well. Let him know you appreciate his thoughts on his mindset. And until next episode, I'm out.